This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
O come, desire of nations. And it says, O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, quarrels, and strivings cease, and fill all the world with heaven's peace. Man, isn't that what we want? Isn't that amazing? And we're going to look at that through Haggai chapter 2. So we've been spending some time talking to God through prayer, through song, and now we want to spend some time listening to God, listening to His word from Haggai chapter 2, how He is this desire of nations. So let me pray once again as we dive into His word. Yes, Father, we ask that You would open up our eyes and let us see Jesus as this desire of nations, this Emmanuel who has come. And let it just be a joy to our hearts, and let it bring peace to our souls. So let us hear, let us open our eyes, let us see what's there for us and for our lives. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year, my kids ask me what I want for Christmas. And that's like a dreaded question. And I always hate going on to Amazon and like having to like create a wish list. And it's always so awkward. And it's like, what do I want? I don't know, whatever. And it's like a labor for me to try to say what I want. And so when my kids ask me, what do I want for Christmas? I tell them in the best 90s Christian contemporary music way, the old 90s CCM way from what I grew up listening to. Now, I had a conversation with someone this week that loved the Amy Grant Christmas album. You guys remember the Amy Grant Christmas album? Yes, I heard a yes. All right, yes, that's right. Well, there's a song on there that whenever my kids ask me, what do I want for Christmas, I tell them my grown-up Christmas list, right? No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts. Everyone would have a friend, right would always win, and love would never end. Isn't that just the greatest Christmas song, right? I love that song. And that's what I thought. And the kids always like roll their eyes, okay, really? What? Like, what do you really? I'm like, serious, that's what I would love to have. That's my grown-up Christmas list. Well, this isn't just Amy Grant's wish. This longing for peace, this longing that wars would stop, that there would be justice, that there would be peace, that there would be hope in this world, is not just Amy Grant's Christmas list. This crosses every boundary. There's no national boundary that it doesn't cross. It crosses all socioeconomic boundaries. It doesn't know creeds, it doesn't know race, it doesn't know anything. All around the world, people are longing for peace. From John Lennon, right? Imagine all the people living in a world of peace, right? Something like that. I'm just a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I can just keep going with different songs and different lyrics. But it's not just John Lennon, it's not just Mahatma Gandhi and his peace marches. It's not just cultural icons. If you look at the news, right, just look at, I just did a perusing of the world news this weekend. And of course, you know the biggest news of around the world in terms of people that wanting peace, Ukraine, right? Imagine how longing the people in Ukraine have for peace. A war-torn country. I mean, you're hearing bombs going off all around you. You're now going into wintertime. Some of them without power, without heat, because of that. And you're just thinking, I want peace to come here. Or you're Ukrainian, you fled from the country. One of the 3 million Ukrainians that have fled, and you're in a foreign country, and you have no idea the language or the culture or the customs or anything of this new people, and you're trying to navigate, and you're just thinking, all I want to do is go home. All I want is peace. I want this war, I want this striving, I want the quarrels to cease. You know, the protests in Iran, you know all the big major headlines, but it's all over the world. Congo, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, There was just last week, 270 people died from rebel activity. And so the churches got together and are asking, how can we come to, how can we bring peace to this land of Congo? Afghanistan, there's so many protests there wanting peace. El Salvador, Haiti, countries that are just ravaged through gang violence. The gangs are owning the areas. Can you imagine stepping outside and you don't know if it's going to be you next? Every day you step outside like that, you're just you're constantly wondering, man, somebody's got to bring peace. Somehow there has to be peace. We complain about the inflation in our country. What about Ghana? Ghana has 45% inflation right now, where it's almost impossible to buy commodities. They can hardly go without their daily, they can hardly get their daily bread. What about Somalia? The deadly terrorist activity that goes on there every day that is disabling their society. Myanmar, ongoing unrest from political coups and things like that. I could go on. I could go country by country by country. Every nation is longing for peace, longing that these quarrels would cease. I was watching the Army-Navy game yesterday, and all these soldiers would come on the screen, right? They'd be cheering for Army or cheering for Navy or whatever, and they would show even soldiers that are in countries all over the world. And I had this sermon on my mind, and I'm thinking, man, there is soldiers everywhere across the world trying at their best to somehow maintain peace, somehow to try to manage this. We long for this even in our own lives, right? I'm so thankful that this the at least somehow the political thing has tampered down over the last month. At least I don't have to see political ads every day, every hour, right? And the vitriol that's there in the political society, but it's there in our lives, right? When it comes to social media, again, I praise God that I'm not on social media. Ignorance is bliss. I hear the stories of social media and the wars that go on there. But I'm telling you, if you have a chance to get off of social media, it's grand. The life is wonderful. It also hits closer to home too, doesn't it? You see the angst in your relationships. You see the tension that's there in your family. You think it has to be better than this. You experience another argument, another fight, more bitterness, more anger, and it just continues. And you say, when are we going to get out of this cycle? And you're going to hear of solutions. You hear, we need peace. We just all need to get along, but we can't. It's been thousands of years, and we're still looking for peace. Everyone, including us, is looking for a solution, a way for peace. So then here we enter the stanza of this song, O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. It's impossible. In our day, we think that has to be impossible. This stanza says that Emmanuel is the desire of nations, and when he comes, he will bring peace to the fighting, the bickering, the hatred of the world. Come, Emmanuel, and fix this mess that we have gotten ourselves into. From governments to our own personal relationships, will you fix it, Emmanuel? We need heaven's peace. That's how it ends. And bring to the world heaven's peace. That's the only solution, and that's what Emmanuel brings, peace. This desire, this longing, this yearning of the nations for peace is answered in him. So if you have Haggai chapter 2, that's where this comes from. I know it's probably... I gave you some time to look in your table of contents for Haggai. It's okay. And find the page number, but it's there. Haggai chapter 2, we're going to read starting in verse 6. And I have a favor from you. If you're able to, can you please stand for the reading of God's word here? We're going to read Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. This is God's word. Praise be to God. You can sit down. Haggai was written to call the exiles back to rebuild the temple of God. They were scattered all throughout the empire at that time, and he was calling them back, saying, hey, it is time. Cyrus the Great has given an edict saying, yes, it's you can go back and you can rebuild this temple. And so Haggai is saying, let's rebuild this temple. And as usual, there is controversy on this passage. Right? Many of your translations, maybe like what I read, it said treasure in verse 7. It says, I will shake the nations so the treasure of nations shall come. Or maybe your translation says the wealth of nations. So it sounds like God is going to bring all that is needed to rebuild the temple, including all the treasures from the surrounding nations, like what happened to Solomon's temple. He's going to shake all the nations to bring out the gold and silver in order to bring this temple to happen. It's going to get the gold, the silver, the lumber, the curtains, whatever is necessary. I'm going to shake all these nations. We're going to come and we're going to rebuild this temple. So is it for them? Yes. Yes, I would say that is true. He is going to bring those things for the building of the temple. But is there a bigger reality that's happening here? I would also say yes. And that's based upon Luke chapter 24, where Jesus, he's with his disciples, and it says that he opened the scriptures at that time, which was the law and the prophets, the Old Testament that we have here, and began to explain how all things is about himself. And their hearts began to, they were opened, it said. Their eyes were opened to be able to see, okay, that's the meaning of this, right? And so this is where I believe that like the disciples, we need to open our eyes and see that this treasure of nations, this desire of nations, is Jesus. And if this is Jesus, if Jesus is this desire of nations, how does he fulfill that desire? What is the Lord of hosts trying to tell us about this Messiah? What is the hope that God is giving to his people and to us? What is this peace that we are getting? How are the nations going to know about this peace? I know that you all have a grown-up Christmas list, and it has peace on it. Just imagine a world without all the fighting. We have a promise that is given to us by God himself, that he brings peace. That's the desire of nations. And we're going to look at this text to see how Emmanuel is the desire of nations, and we'll look at how we are still longing for him to bring this kingdom come. So first thing, how Emmanuel fulfills the desire of nations. Number one, Emmanuel comes displaying power. Emmanuel comes displaying power. You can see that in verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all the dry land. The Lord of armies. How many times does it say the Lord of hosts? I like the better translation, the Lord of armies. For me, it gets the better. I don't know what the heck a host is. But for me, I know what an army is. Like the Lord of armies. More than one army. Like he is the king of all these armies. And he says, this God of the universe, the unstoppable one, will shake the universe to bring Jesus to earth. Throughout the Bible, God is concerned for us that we not be so deluded about who the victor really is. Because you and I, we can easily start to think that evil wins. But God constantly tells us not to fear, because the Lord of armies can defeat evil with a word. He can shake heavens. He can shake the earth to do his will. So all this turmoil, all this war and fighting and evil can be stopped. It's powerless before the Lord of armies. So let me be clear. It's not about his ability. It's about our patience. He says he's going to shake the heavens. When God shakes something, it's not like, hey, you know, shake well before using. Like this look. I mean, it's a dramatic shake. He is shaking the heavens and the earth. When God delivered his people from Egypt, or when he delivered his people from Babylon, he shook the earth. But when Emmanuel comes, he's going to shake heaven and earth. The heavens will be shaken up. The eternal fellowship of the Father and the Son in the heavens being broken so that the Son may come to earth and take on human flesh. The divine taking on personal union with human nature. This has never been done or ever will be done. It's too incredible. I love the line from Hark the Herald Angels Sing, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. The holy God who has so many instructions given to Moses in order to come into his presence in the tabernacle now enters into this broken world. Heaven was shaken when Jesus came. He shook the earth, the virgin birth, the shepherds seeing an army of angels singing an announcement of Emmanuel's arrival. Herod, the King Herod, who ruthlessly murdered babies in Israel. The earth shook at the arrival of Emmanuel. And the point is that God flexes his power. He shakes all the order in order to give us our salvation, to redeem his people. He will do what it takes to redeem his people. He will shake up everything in order to fulfill his promise of redemption. He will not let the enemy win. He will not let evil win. His power will do it, and we all will see it. All heaven and earth bows to him. So we see Emmanuel coming, and he is displaying power. Secondly, we see Emmanuel coming bearing glory. Emmanuel comes bearing glory. Verses 7 through 9. It says, I will shake the nations so the treasures of nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. God is coming, showing his glory and worth to this world. Look at verse 8. It says, God doesn't need the silver and gold from the nations. He already has it. It's all his. It's a present tense verb. The gold is mine, not will be mine. It is mine. The silver is mine. I mean, it would be like you coming to my house, going into my garage, grabbing one of my tools, probably still sealed in its wrapper because I hardly ever use tools, but giving it to me, wrapping it up and giving it to me and saying, Merry Christmas. You're not really impressing me by giving me my own stuff, right? That's what we think if the nations are, oh, we're coming to give you your gold, giving gold to you and silver to you. It's all mine. The silver and the gold is mine. You're not impressing me by your gold and silver. You're not somehow making this thing more great. This is already mine. He doesn't need the nation's treasures of gold and silver. He created it. It's his. And this is how I know that God isn't just talking about the second temple. Because he says it's going to be more glorious than the one before. You see that in verse 9? The glory will be greater. Because Cyrus, when in history, if you see the historical records, when Cyrus allowed the Israelites to go back and rebuild the temple, he made an edict to say that it cannot be built greater than the one before. And history shows that it wasn't as magnificent of a temple as Solomon was. So either God was wrong in what he said, or he's not necessarily talking about the glory of a structure. He's talking about a greater reality. In other words, the glory is going to be bigger than silver and gold and bigger than this last temple. It's going to be the Messiah It's going to be Jesus Christ. He is the glory that is to come. John 1 says that the disciple testified that we have seen his glory, the glory that of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of Jesus is far greater than anything in the world. He is the epitome of grace and truth, bigger than anything. He is altogether lovely. He is altogether awesome, one that can never be outmatched by anyone or anything. There is no one like Jesus. There is no rivals, no match, nothing to compare him to. This isn't like trying to compare the GOAT, right? This isn't like, you know, oh, who's better, LeBron or MJ, right? It's not. There's no comparison. With Jesus, there is no comparison. There is no one to say, there is no argument. There's no ESPN show ready to argue for half an hour, yelling at each other, who's the greatest? The argument's over with one word, it's Jesus. He's the greatest. He is the most rightful, the most accurate desire of nations, the most desirable one. He is the great prophet. He is the supreme king of all. He is the purest of all priests. Jesus, Emmanuel, comes bearing the glory of God. This glory is greater than anything else. It's what the nations desire. And third, it says that Emmanuel comes offering peace. So he came bearing, showing, displaying his power. He came with his glory, and he's coming offering peace. The end of verse 9 says, "In this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." It's what we started the conversation with, needing peace. It's what the old hymn drives us forward to, bringing heaven's peace. It's what we're all longing for. But it's not just the absence of war. It's unity. It's wholeness. It's completeness. For you nerds, it's shalom, if you need that nice Hebrew word. Or if you're a more contemporary nerd, flourishing. Right? He's come to give us flourishing. That's the new buzzword, I think, in theological circles. But shalom, he has come to bring us this idea that everything is how it's supposed to be in a perfect world. No struggles with people, no issues at work, no drama at school, no fighting at home, no loneliness. Everything is perfect. That is what Emmanuel brings. When God declares that Emmanuel is coming, he offers peace to the world. In Christ, there is peace. He is declared to be the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. Angels shouted in Luke chapter 2, "Peace on earth and goodwill to men." Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 27, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus promises us his peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says that Jesus, he himself, is our peace, tearing down the wall of hostility and bringing peace to us. Jesus is the one who experienced the worst conflict in order to bring us peace. He endured the wrath of God. He endured our shame. He suffered the antagonism and the hatred of man. He took on that so that we might have peace with God. His sacrifice is our peace. We cannot have peace without Christ. Peace is impossible without him. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we are under the wrath of God. You see, Crestview, all the fighting, all the wars, all the issues, all the conflict that humans have with each other doesn't even compare. It's a drop in the ocean compared to the conflict that we have with God because of our sin and our shame before him. And that chasm, that offense that we have before God, is insurmountable by us. There is nothing that we can do that would appease and heal that relationship that we have with God. There is nothing that we can do to redeem ourselves and our brokenness, but Jesus can and Jesus did. It's not just a spiritual reality, people. Jesus came not only to secure our eternal home, to secure our peace with God on the cross, but he also gives us peace now. Remember the angel's announcement said that there is peace on earth. Not just in heaven, but peace on earth. Zechariah's prayer that was quoted last week ends this way in Luke chapter 1, verse 79. To guide our feet into the way of peace. There was an article in this month's Christianity Today that says that we don't have to be cynical that there won't be peace now. We don't have to give up that it will only happen in eternity. Jesus came to give us peace now, today. So would you long for Emmanuel to come and to bring it? Your hunger, your desire to be for him, to bring peace, because that, Crestview, is the only way. It's only through Jesus. And he made that way on the cross. He made it. All we do is we enter into that. We come with empty hands and say, Jesus, we need your peace. We come humbly and accept it. It's the only way that you will experience peace in your life. And he can guide you into this peace. It's what he came for. So if you desire peace, then desire Jesus. He is the answer. If you desire peace, desire him. Long for him. That's been our theme this sermon series. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Do you desire him? Do you long for his coming? Do you long that he would bring peace? Or do you try to get peace from somewhere else? Is your hope, is your comfort in political allies bringing peace? Is your hope in men having peace among themselves? Or is your hope, is your confidence only saying, Emmanuel, come. Come and bring this peace to earth. It must be said for you to remember, I want you to remember who this is addressed to. This is addressed to the nations. He's the desire of nations. The desire that the nations are desiring that this Emmanuel, that God would be with them. They desire, the nations, they desire to be ransomed from their exile. They desire to know the path of peace. The world needs their day spring, a new day dawning. The nations long for him. When Phil first told me that he wants to do a sermon series on O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, the first thing in my selfishness, I said, I got O Come Nations bind. I got that one. That one's mine. I want that one. Because my heart is for you guys to see that the nations long for Jesus. They want him. There's so much pain, so much hurting, so much conflict, so much hopelessness, so much danger, so much real life anxiety. Truly, the nations are longing for a Messiah, for God to be present with them. I want you, for just a few moments, I want you to look at the world through the eyes of a woman named Jyoti. A woman named Jyoti who lives in South Asia. Jyoti was forced to be married at the age of 14 to a man she never met until her wedding day. She has been living for the last 20 years in not just a loveless marriage. It would be great if there was at least a loveless marriage, but she has been living basically in slavery to her husband's family, working from sun up to sun down in the fields and in the home consisting of not just her nuclear family, her in-laws, her father and mother-in-law, her brother-in-law, and his whole family in a two-room house. She's never been to a restaurant, never experienced a holiday, has hardly left her village in her life. Jyoti is longing for peace. She is longing for joy. She's desiring a rescue from her shame. She doesn't know what that rescue is. She doesn't know Jesus. She's never heard Jesus. I want you to look at the world through the eyes of Mukesh. Mukesh is also a young man living in South Asia. He's a young real estate broker in a major urban center. Day by day, he is making under-the-table deals, shady deals every day, doing anything just to make a buck, another buck. Each morning, he gets up, he prays to his idol, wanting prosperity, wanting protection from the authorities, because he knows at any point they could come and hunt after him. And he's been conditioned to this, not knowing any other life. It was passed down to him from his father, who was passed down from his father. He has a longing for something. He doesn't know what that is, and so he's finding it in shady deals, in real estate brokering. No one to tell him that this desire that he has is misdirected, that it won't satisfy him. So who will tell Jyoti? Who will tell Mukesh of this Prince of Peace? Who will tell them? Thousands of people are dying every day, this hour, while you eat your lunch, while we sing this closing song. They will die destined for eternity in hell, never hearing that there is a desire that will bring peace to them. As a people whom God has given this desire, Jesus, this peace, would you long for Emmanuel to come to the nations? May God burn this deep into your hearts, into your soul, that he loves the nations. He loves them. And not just us, but he loves all peoples and desires them to be saved. Would you long for this Emmanuel to come and to dwell with them? For God to be with them in other nations, and not just in our own lives. Desire this, Crestview. Would you long for this? This Christmas, will you turn to know Jesus in your own life? To see peace that only he brings, and that you will long for him to be known among the nations. In this quiet space that we have, before we get to the hustle and bustle of life, I want to give you a few moments to talk with God about this. As Andrew comes up and plays softly, I want you to talk and ask Jesus to come and to bring peace to this world, to your own life. Ask him to be known around the world, that this desire of nations will be realized in Jesus alone. Ask who that might be that would be sent to go and tell the world about him. Will you sit quietly in just the stillness of this moment and talk to Jesus and say, come, come, Emmanuel. God, send laborers into this harvest. God, raise some of us who will bring Jesus to them. God, move us this Christmas to long for the desire of nations to be known throughout the world. Shake heaven and earth and our hearts to break for the nations. Shake our lives, Father, to see what you are doing in waking people around the world to see your Son as the ultimate desire. Show us how we can join in your mission of the glory of Jesus being known around the world. People from every tongue and tribe and people and nation singing around your throne, a redeemed people who now have experienced your peace. Jesus, come. Emmanuel, come and bring peace to this world now. We look to you as our only source, our only hope for peace. We look to you alone. Would you come now? We need you to shake the nations, to shine your awesome glory, to bring peace to a broken and hurting world. Jesus, bring it to our own lives, I pray. Bring it to our homes. Bring your peace to everyone here. Come, desire of nations, come. Would you bind all peoples in one heart and mind for your glory? And it's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.